Honda would use a peacock feather. He would touch the person in their forehead, in their third eye chakra, and then they would get this energy infused into them, and then they would be enlightened. They would have this higher consciousness. And this same type of practice is starting to become very pervasive in the United States and the Western world. So we're going to look at some of these methods here. Let me see here. Something going on. Okay, well, interesting. Okay, as we saw last night, I thought this was usually at the end of the talk. Leviticus 19:31. This is the key to understanding energy healing. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled or corrupted by them. I am the Lord your God. So what we're looking at here, Reiki in particular, is one of the biggest ones, are modern day wizards. Let me see here. Oh, here we go. Yeah, that's strange. That was supposed to be at the end, but somehow it wound up at the beginning. Anyhow, the Encyclopedia of Energy, there are all sorts of strange stuff going on PowerPoint-wise here this morning. So anyhow, the Encyclopedia of Energy Medicine, this is a, as you can see, an encyclopedia on the various types of energy healing. Now, you saw that word Reiki. There are 65 different methods, 65 different types of energy healing. It's kind of like cigarettes or, you know, soft drinks, or they all have different names, brand names, but they're all basically the same thing, and that's how it is with energy healing. They all have different titles, but it's all, as you see there, this is the same as Shakti Path. The practitioner puts their hands over you. It's not mechanical. It's not like massage. It's not like they do, or chiropractic. They actually just put their hands above you, and they go into these meditative states, and they channel this energy into you. Now, this is why energy medicine is so dangerous, because with yoga and Wicca and, you know, all these other type of practices, you have to meditate. And as I showed last night, meditating is very difficult. You know, saying a mantra over and over again is not easy to do. The mind always wants to start thinking again. You know, there's this struggle. But with energy healing, all you have to do is just be passive. You don't have to meditate yourself. All you have to do is just sit there, and they channel it into you. So it kind of puts you in a meditative state without having to meditate. So we're going to look at some of the aspects of this. Now, U.S. News World Report is now, I think, an online magazine. It used to be, you know, something you'd see in newsstands, but it was one of the leading magazines in the United States. Again, you know, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is not something that paranoid people have made up just to scare you. U.S. News and World Report in the fall of 2007 said there were 1.5 million energy healers in the U.S. at that time. Now, friends, 1.5 million is a lot of people. So we're not talking, if there were only, say, a few thousand doing this, or just a relatively small number, I really wouldn't be here telling you about it, because it would be kind of inconsequential. But when you see 1.5 million people were doing it in 2007, then that's quite significant, wouldn't you say? Okay, the chakras. Carol made mention of the chakras. That is the key to all energy healing. It's every one of these 65 modalities is based on this concept of the chakras, and that's a Hindu word, and I think it means wheel. Like a spinning vortex. It means wheel. And this is a book called The Pocket Guide to the Chakras. Now, if any of you ever go to a massage therapist or a naturopathic doctor or anybody who is in the alternative medicine field, or even, you know, a nurse, and they want to do some kind of energy transference on you, what you have to ask them is this connected with the chakras? You got to remember this word. You want to write that word down, because as we see here, this is a little booklet that you can get in New Age bookstores. This woman says, the seventh functions like a battery charger, renewing our connection with spirit. Now, by spirit,
she doesn't mean the Holy Spirit, because the next one, beings on other planes are eager to communicate with you if you are willing to be receptive to them. So by spirit, she does not mean, you know, how we would use the term the Spirit or the Holy Spirit, but she means beings or spirit guides. So the term chakras is always connected with spirit guides. And there we have a picture of them. They're not real, of course. They're not like physical. They're more or less felt. And as one meditates, this is what yoga is all about. This is exactly what yoga is all about. This kundalini energy that Carol spoke of, you begin to meditate, and then this kundalini or serpent power starts going up the chakras from the base of the spine. And each one of these chakras has some kind of a function. Now, the blue one there in the forehead, that is called the third eye. How many of you heard the term the third eye? Oh, quite a few of you. So, okay, if you were to go to a New Age bookstore and you were going to get a book on how to develop your psychic powers, the book would contain information about the chakras or reference to the chakras, because the third eye chakra is definitely connected with developing psychic powers. The seventh one, though, is where it really conflicts with Christianity and the gospel. When the seventh one is activated, then you know that you're God, that you are divine, you are a divine being. And we saw that last night with the philosophy of yoga. Okay, Reiki. Reiki is one of the more pervasive, like I mentioned, like soft drinks. Reiki would be like the Coca-Cola or Pepsi of energy healing. What do you know? It's galloping again. Reiki is the most common and most pervasive of all the energy healing methods. There we have a picture of a woman doing Reiki on another woman. And Reiki is a Japanese word, and a lot of times in the U.S. it will be translated as universal life energy. Universal life energy. But in Japan, the word Reiki can also mean ghost energy, or it could be the generic word for occultism in Japan. But here it's usually translated universal life energy. And it was, I can't really say invented, it was more or less rediscovered by this Dr. Makao Usui. And he was a man living in Japan. He went up on a sacred mountain, a sacred Buddhist mountain in Japan, and he meditated, and this energy came and hit him right in the third eye chakra, right in the forehead. And when he came back off the mountain, he had this ability to channel this healing force. And keep in mind, this is a mountain sacred to Buddhists. So he is the one that rediscovered Reiki. And now, from that one individual, when you do a Google search for Reiki, it yields about 58 million results. You know, 58 million. So it is burgeoned into a huge movement. This is from the Everything Reiki book. There's a lot of information out there on Reiki. With 58 million hits or websites, you know that there'd be a lot of information. And this is where it ties in with what I was talking about last night. About, you know, how when you look behind the scenes, you see spirit guides. Anyhow, from the Everything Reiki book, it says, during the Reiki attunement process, see, you don't learn Reiki. It's not like teaching you how to make omelets or anything like that. It's not mechanical or intellectual. It's you're attuned to it by the Reiki master. During the Reiki attunement process, the avenue that is open within the body to allow Reiki to flow through also opens up the psychic communication centers. This is why many Reiki practitioners report having verbalized channeled communication with the spirit world. In Diane Stein's book, Essential Reiki, the Reiki guides are a group of discarnate, that means non-physical, healers that take part in every Reiki healing. The Reiki 1 practitioner is probably not aware of them, but with Reiki 2, they begin to make themselves known. In Reiki 3, they are running the whole show. And number 3 is the master level, where you can initiate people. So when you encounter Reiki somewhere, realize that there's these non-physical beings that are part of every Reiki healing. So there's no such thing as benign Reiki or neutral Reiki. This is Reiki News Magazine, and this is the head of the International Center for Reiki Training there, and he's doing on someone. And he says, during every attunement ceremony, I am always aware of the presence of my Reiki guides. And notice on the cover there, teaching Reiki to children. You see that? Teaching Reiki to children. So since it's not intellectual, you can be of any age. Conceivably, you could teach Reiki to an 8-year-old child. Or not teach it, but impart it. Okay, this woman is, you know, she looks like a Baptist Sunday school teacher, right? And she actually is from, she only lives maybe 60, 70 miles from me. She's right in my backyard there. And she says, I work with as many as 20 spirit guides during my Reiki treatments. They are my spiritual family. Many Reiki practitioners can feel the presence of their Reiki guides. So, you know, going by looks, I mean, she could fit right in this church. You, I mean, you would never suspect that she was involved in this kind of thing. This is Diane Stein again. She says, Reiki once belonged to everyone. The Reiki guides want it to be so again. And that's really the question here. You know, Reiki has no longer been just confined to the New Age community, to the, you know, metaphysically oriented community. It is now, excuse me, branching out into the broader framework of society, the scope of Reiki. Okay, this woman is a Reiki master who lived in the Czech Republic, and during her 13 years, she lived in Europe. It says worldwide, but this is mainly in, you know, Central Europe. This woman alone taught Reiki to over 45,000 people. Not did it on them, initiated them into it. So she initiated 45,000 people, and of each one of those, you know, which they're now able to channel themselves, excuse me, did it on 10 people, that's like 500,000 people. So you can see that this is really a burgeoning movement. This is something that a lot of people are going to run into sooner or later. And it's all over the world. This Reiki is in practically every country in the world. This is not something you just find in like California or, you know, Berkeley or somewhere like that. This is all over. I found Reiki in a small town in Iowa, like 130 miles from Des Moines. Way out there in the cornfields in the local town square, there was a place where they did Reiki, a massage therapist, and he or she advertised Reiki on the front door. Okay, Reiki News. According to William Lee Rand, head of the International Center for Reiki Training, that's who you saw on the cover of that magazine, there are at least 1 million people in the United States who channel Reiki energy. Now, keep this figure in mind. This is 2004 when this came out. Reiki is becoming increasingly popular in the medical community. This is a book called The Triple Whammy Cure by Dr. David Elderberg. Or Edelberg, I'm sorry, Edelberg. And he says, it's either him or one of his, no, this is one of his patients. After a first session, my patients regularly say, now did you get that? regularly say, I really felt energy shifting within me. Then all of a sudden, I knew what I had to do with my life. So one Reiki practitioner doing this on a large number of people can influence literally dozens, scores, maybe hundreds of people, especially if they're some kind of a medical professional. So they feel the energy, which is a familiar spirit, and then all of a sudden I knew what I had to do with my life. In other words, there's a familiar spirit involved in their life then. According to Reiki News Magazine, 800 hospitals in the U.S., that's 15%, of all the hospitals in America have a Reiki practitioner on staff. And it's growing all the time because it's becoming more and more accepted. Day spas. If you have any family members or friends that go to day spas, this is very important to realize, you know, to warn them, because day spas are becoming a major source of contact with Reiki. In a Google search 5 years ago, with the words day spa and Reiki, there were over 138,000 results. Today, there are over 2 million results. here's some of the celebrity fans of Reiki: Nicole Kidman, Uma Thurman, Angelina Jolie, Naomi Watts, Kate Bosworth, Holly Berry, Sandra Bullock, Goldie Hawn, Helen Hunt, and Sharon Stone. These are all people who endorse Reiki openly, publicly. Here's a picture of Sandra Bullock. She's very popular. I think she has a movie out called Gravity that's very popular right now. And she actually wears Reiki-infused jewelry, which is designed by Reiki master in Los Angeles, Catherine Michaels. So you can actually put Reiki in inanimate objects and turn them into talismans. And you see that quite often in shamanism. So anyhow, she actually wears Reiki-infused jewelry. How many of you remember what was called river dance, you know, Irish folk dancing? Okay. This was the original star, a guy named Michael Flatley. And he says, "I swear by Reiki." And if you can, you know, scan that real quickly, if he has a leg injury, he says, just hours after a painful leg injury, "It sounds crazy, but the evidence speaks for itself. I start to feel better as soon as the healer touches my injury." So, see, there is actually something going on. There actually is a power that's at work here, and people are responding to it in a positive way. This is Dr. Mehmet Oz. You all know who he is, right? You've probably seen his TV show, right? Well, he is a major promoter of Reiki. He said, on January 6, 2010, Dr. Mehmet Oz revealed his ultimate alternative medicine secrets for 2010 during his nationally broadcast afternoon talk show. He ranked Reiki number one. Dr. Oz said, "Reiki is one of my favorites. We've been using it for years in the Oz family, and we swear by it." We swear by it. And he better say that because his wife is a Reiki master. This is her book, and in it it says that "I am a certified Reiki master." So that's what that's what we have going on with one of the major proponents of health in the United States, one of the more influential people. Okay, this is very interesting. A guy from Kentucky sent me this. Now, Kentucky is in what's called the Bible Belt, right? Well, anyhow, I don't know if you can see this, but they were doing Reiki initiations. This wasn't during the school day, but they were doing Reiki initiations in the local high school in Frankfort, Kentucky. And it was put on, I don't know if you can see it there, by the Franklin County Board of Education. Now, those of you who are in, you know, the education, you know, in the school districts, it's kind of weird that a government organization would sponsor something like this, right? I mean, this is, like it says up there, Franklin County Board of Education and also the Kentucky Department of Education. So we got the county and the state Department of Education, and right there in the middle there, I don't know, you can't see it that well, but they were initiating people into level one Reiki. This was in the winter spring of 2012. So it's located at Western High School in Frankfort, Kentucky. And like I said, this wasn't during the school, it wasn't students, it wasn't during the school day, but it was like on a weekend. But it was at the high school, and it was sponsored by the county and state Department of Education. So this means what this whole conference is about. You know, this isn't some, you know, madam so-and-so in some psychic place, you know, off the highway there, you know, where you go to and get your palm read. Occultism is starting to become part of our culture, part of regular society. You know, when in the Bible Belt, when the Kentucky Department of Education sponsors something like this, you know, something is going on. Something is going on. Okay, even in the most remote parts of North America, you can find Reiki. This is in Peace River, Alberta, which is way, 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 way north of Edmonton and Calgary. This is way up in the northern reaches of Alberta, Canada. And there's a Reiki center there. You know, register today. Start learning today. Begin your amazing journey into the healing art of Reiki through our online video learning. I can't read that. Schedules or whatever. Attend to, you know, so anyhow, this is I decided it was time for a change, so I made it. How about you? And there's other types of energy healing. Reiki is the most prominent, but there are other modalities. This is a book called Hands of Light by Barbara Ann Brennan. And this book has sold 1.2 million copies. And she actually has it's called Brennan Healing Method. She has a center, I think, in Florida, and also she has a place in Germany, or Austria, I mean. And she constantly, in the center, she constantly trains healers. And in this book, you've heard that saying, one picture is worth a thousand words, right? Well, I'm going to show you a picture here that kind of brings that into full focus. This is from her book. You see the person laying on the table, and then that other person is doing the, energy healing. You see the two figures on both sides? Okay, you see that? Those are the guides. Those are the chakra-induced guides. So that's where the healing is really coming from. It's not coming from the person themselves that's doing it. It's coming from these entities or spirit guides or familiar spirits that are, involved in this. Okay, and in this book, Hands of Light, she says, enlightenment is the goal. Healing is a byproduct. So it's not really the physical healing. It's getting enlightened or knowing that you're divine. That's important. Okay, this is, how many of you here are nurses or involved in the nursing field? Okay, this is very popular in the nursing field, in hospitals. This is a method called therapeutic touch, and again, it's based on the chakras, and it was developed by this nurse here. Her name is Dolores Krieger, and she developed therapeutic touch in 1972, and she actually, in an interview, she actually reveals it has a high occult factor, and this is used by many nurses in hospitals. And it's actually taught, there's actually classes on therapeutic touch in 85 colleges and universities. Okay, a Google search for therapeutic touch yields 653,000 results. Quantum touch, it's another energy healing method. It yields about 641,000 results. And this is the guy that developed quantum touch, Dr. Richard Gordon. And it says Dr. Richard Gordon is a highly experienced energy healer and founder of Quantum Touch, a global health institution. With 35 years of experience, Richard Gordon is considered a visionary and pioneer in the field of energy healing. Mr. Gordon is the best-selling author of Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal, now in 17 languages. And there's the book, Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal. But in it, he reveals that he learned about the chakras from Lazarus. Now, I know it looks like Lazarus, but it's pronounced Lazarus. And Lazarus is a spirit guide whom people have blendings with. You go to the guy that channels Lazarus, his name is Jock Purcell, and you actually have blendings with Lazarus. So this method that's sweeping through the world is actually the result of connection with a spirit guide. Okay, this is another one picture is worth a thousand words. This is something called the oneness blessing. Now, I have to explain this. Okay, you see there's these two people on the end, and there's all these Buddhas lined up. And then there's this finger zapping this woman. Well, all the Buddhas used to be people. It's like you had a whole bunch of people, and this finger just goes down the line zapping them, and then they turn into Buddhas. So after this woman gets zapped, she will become a Buddha or enlightened being. And see the guy next to her, I'm next. There's this real enthusiasm. Like, man, I'm gonna become an enlightened being. And this is really the main gist of what all of us during this weekend is trying to get across, that this stuff used to be scary. This stuff used to be, I don't want any of that. But now people are going for it. Now it's actually something they want. It's seen as beneficial. Like, yeah, I want enlightenment. I want to be spiritual, but not religious. Okay, the oneness blessing. Millions of people have experienced it. Many thousands the world over are flocking to India to learn how to administer it. And celebrities, from movie actors to high-tech executives to self-help gurus such as Tony Robbins, And there's something about Tony Robbins and Carol's DVD, White is the Gate, I believe, are swearing by it. It's called Diksha. That's another term for, I can't remember, the energy transference. Anyhow, it's called Diksha, and if you believe its proponents, this new form of spiritual transmission is going to have quite an impact on spirituality in the new millennium. Shaktipat, that's it. I couldn't remember it. Shaktipat. Thank you so much. This is someone who went to one of Tony Robbins' meetings, and she says, thank you so much for sharing this beautiful experience. See, people that undergo this, you know, the word occult has a real dark, negative connotation to people that are Christians. You know, when you hear the word occult, you think of, you know, sinister things. When you hear the word spirit guides, you think of demons. And when you think of demons, you think of movies like The Exorcist, you know, where you got people throwing up vomit and head spinning and things like that. But in essence, you know, Carol quoted, you know, Satan comes as an angel of light and his ministers transform themselves as the ministers of righteousness. And this is what we see here. You know, thank you so much for sharing this beautiful experience. I just returned from a Tony Robbins event where the oneness blessing was given twice during the week-long event. I know I want to see this spread across the whole planet for the healing I know we can all enjoy. Okay, this is back to Reiki again. This is a Reiki master from New York City, Raven Keys, and she wrote a book called The Healing Power of Reiki. Reiki master, teacher, hypnotherapist, meditation teacher, and workshop leader internationally. Very popular, very influential. Raven Keys was voted the most popular Reiki master in New York City by New York Magazine. Okay, Dr. Oz wrote the foreword to her book, The Healing Power of Reiki. Dr. Oz actually wrote the foreword to this woman's book. That's how much he is into it. And this is quite significant because in the book, this is from her book, we all have a right to connect to our spirit guides. You know, it's like the Bill of Rights, you know, we all have a right to our spirit guides. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't have spirit guides, because we all have a right to connect with our spirit guides. Every person interested in Reiki can make a personal connection with a guide. This is a spirit who is the overseer of your Reiki experiences and is invaluable to those of us who practice Reiki. Your Reiki master in spirit is a powerful being on whom you can depend. Again, this is like you saw last night with Wayne Dyer, you know, Abraham. You know, these are very powerful, loving beings. And you can depend on them. They will not let you down. There's a personal relationship here, folks. There's a personal relationship here. And this is, what I'm about to show you is the result of that personal relationship. This is a booklet. This woman, a teacher, she was a teacher in Portland, Oregon, and she injured herself in a skiing accident. So she, you know, went to chiropractors and various people, and none of them seemed to help. So she went to a Reiki practitioner, and she wound up with a spirit guide. So she, or it wasn't so much her, it was her spirit guide that published this booklet. It was called Attuning to Inner Guidance. And she says, the following are wisdoms excerpted from my journal of channelings from my inner teacher. So this is her inner teacher, or a familiar spirit speaking here. And this is the result of Reiki becoming so pervasive. This is what we are facing in the future. And those of you who have interest in eschatology or Bible prophecy will find this very informative. This is her spirit guide speaking now. When the coming together time is here, you'll all slip into gear without much resistance to each other. That induction will come as a snap when enough of you are united in spirit. So this spirit guide is saying that there's this coming together time that's in the future, and that when enough people, this is what Wayne Dyer said last night, when enough people are aligned in a certain way, then there'll be the rest of the population will follow. There'll be a quantum leap in consciousness. And this spirit guide says that induction will come as a snap. You know, I mean, it's easy. It'll be easy when enough of you are united in spirit. And that is really the theme of this conference, that huge numbers of people are being united in spirit, or familiar spirits, through yoga, through Wicca, through, you know, all sorts of meditation, through energy healing, and even through, as Carol pointed out, you know, these things we're finding in Christianity now. That huge numbers of people are indeed being united in spirit. And you can see there's kind of like a control here. Like the German word for spirit guide is Geistführer. You know, the word Geist means spirit, but, you know, that's where we get our word ghost from. You know, it means, you know, like an invisible being, invisible entity. And Führer, you know, that's what Hitler was called, the Führer. It means leader. So Geistführer has much more of a, you know, an explanation of what we're dealing with here than anything else. In other words, spirit leader, you know, spirit guide. Guide is kind of benign, you know, but a spirit leader, like, you know, I'm in control now. Okay, you must be exactly where you are, doing exactly what you are doing. Notice the word we there. So the spirit guide talks about we, you know, not I. We cannot stress how vital that is to the overall work that is happening in Portland and everywhere right now. Trust, trust. So there's this work that she's involved with, you know, and there's a we, you know, like there's a whole bunch of them. See, that in the Bible, God never says we. It's always I. The Master will guide. Do not have concern. It is all happening. Make inner guidance commonplace. Get it out there for the everyman. So in other words, now that she, you know, before she was just a regular person. She was just a normal, average teacher. She goes to the Reiki channeler. She winds up with a spirit guide. And now she is working for the spirit guide, and the spirit guide is saying, you know, well, we got to get more people involved here. So the spirit guide says, make inner guidance commonplace, get it out there for the everyman. So this woman has now become a mystical missionary, a mystical missionary. I love you, Storma. Nothing is more important than to be a clear, resonating vessel to channel through the will of the universe. And that's a New Age term. Usually when you hear, Oprah used to say that a lot, the universe. So when you hear somebody talking about the universe, they're talking about this type of spirituality. And here's where, remember Leviticus 19:31, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defined by them. I am the Lord your God. Okay, I am the Lord your God. Okay, this spirit guide says, trust in me, your Lord. Trust in me, your Lord. So now, instead of Jesus Christ being her Lord, this spirit guide is her Lord. And this is a result of Reiki. Okay, the broad scope. Back to, remember that woman I said looked like a Baptist Sunday school teacher? Okay, this is her talking here. And this is this reason. This is the fall 2013 magazine of Reiki News Magazine. She says, today people of all religious and spiritual backgrounds practice Reiki. I have had Reiki students from a wide variety of religions. In one Reiki class, I had a Muslim, Hindu, Catholic, fundamentalist Christian, and agnostic. That was in one class. My students are teachers, psychologists, healthcare professionals, nurses, doctors, veterinarians, massage therapists, horse and dog trainers, yoga teachers, engineers, biologists, firefighters, EMTs, soldiers, corporate executives, moms, dads, kids, you name it. What I have learned from my Reiki classes, clients and readers, is that we are the mainstream. We are the mainstream, and that is true. Things like Reiki and yoga, meditation are no longer considered fringe or far out or objectionable. They're becoming or are the mainstream. Reiki is not going to go away. It is not a fad. It is not something that, you know, will just kind of, people will lose interest and it will just dissipate. No, no, it's going to continue to grow. Remember what that spirit guide said? You know, that in a way it's kind of like the reverse of Jesus saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In other words, in Reiki, they say the people, Reiki masters, people that initiate people, say once you get it, you have it for life. You can't lose it. You have it for life. Okay, here's where it gets really scary. This is the real... Remember I said to pay attention when William Lee Rand said in 2004? In 2011, Presence Magazine, the official magazine of Spiritual Directors International, stated that there were now 2 million Reiki channelers in the United States. They went from 1 million in 2004 to 2 million in 2011. And folks, there cannot be 2 million Reiki channelers in the United States and this not be the end of the age. You know, this has to be the end of the age. If there are indeed 2 million Reiki channelers in the United States, then this is the period right before the tribulation. There's no way to deny it because they're going to keep growing. Again, it's weird. Remember, this popped up in the beginning. Yeah, it's supposed to be at the end. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards. See, Reiki channelers are wizards. You know, a wizard is a knowing one. You know, someone who has knowledge of supernatural realms. To be defiled or corrupted by them, I am the Lord your God. Okay, thank you very much.